death of four sons. So you can go on this rant. What's the wise son's question? Wise son says, what are all these laws? All these laws which God commanded us. What's his question? He's saying, in Yeshiva language, why do I have to learn Gemara? In other words, like, hey, wait a second. If you tell me, go serve God, make a total commitment to serve God, I'll be behind you. But what's he telling me here? Hey, the Chukim, Mishpatim, this law, that law, this technicality, this, learn this point. I wanted to serve God. And suddenly, you put all this in front of me. I want to serve God. And I don't care about this point, that point, this point. And the answer to that, is no. Hilchos Hakesa. No. Hilchos Halacha is Pesa, to jump. The whole point of this Halacha is to make a radical leap forward. That, and on the contrary, Hilchos Halacha means you start to proceed. Pesach and you get to jump. You teach him that every law is not simply a law, but rather it allows for Pesach, it allows for the opportunity for radical advance. In other words, the natural tendency for a person to say, I don't need all these technicals. I want to serve God. I want to serve. He says, no. Halacha is Pesach. Jump. If anything you do is serving yourself, it's what I think is a spiritual experience. Welcome to the real world. Get out of your own petty little thing. What is a spiritual experience? Stepping out of your own ideas and doing what God wants. And that's Hilchos. That's Halacha. And that allows for Pesach to jump beyond yourself. Okay. We proceed from the Chacham to the Rasha. Obvious question asked by every commentary on the Haggadah, why does the Rasha sit next to the Chacham? Rebbe gives three answers on this. It's not that really. It's a lot. It's everybody. The same answers are found elsewhere as well. First of all, Chacham's got to realize that he's got a job to do. He should work for the Rosh. That's simple. He should be next to each other, not by accident. More important, he should realize that if he doesn't advance, it could be sitting right there. It's not somebody who's bad. You could be in this, there, but for the grace of God, go I. And then, going further, the Rosh has to realize, I'm right next to the Chacham. I can be, there's no sense of Chas v'Sholom. I have despair. Quite the contrary. In return, I can be a Chacham also. Afterwards, you have Tom and the Shemidei Elisha. There's a good there's most people say Chacham, the order goes Chacham, Rasha, Tam, Chedei Lisho in descending order. We have the Chacham who is the actual Chacham, the Rasha is the Chacham potential, the Tam who's he's a good guy but can't really advance very much. Chedei Lisho is like he's at the bottom of the totem poles and can't do anything. Other people say Chacham, that's the stop. Yeah. That's the lowest level. Russia has the possibility for tshuva. The Tam of it and Shnei Elisho, these are the highest levels. The Shnei Elisho is the highest of all. Committed to God to the point where there's no questions. Simple, straight, the way it should be. That's when Shnei Elisho is the highest level. Okay, taking a step further. Let's skip to page in this book is 38. Say umad. Go out and learn. That's just like the first lesson. Say umad. You want to learn? You got to step out. A lot of people are very comfortable. It's like I know it all. Very happy where I am. No one can force you out of your own skin. But you're not going to learn very much. If you want to learn, if you want to advance, the very first step of learning means, there's a place to go where I'm not at now. And I've got to step out and get there. Then we go on. Well, we're basically saying this is pushing halachically. What's the Haggadah? The Haggadah is the main drasha, the main base of the Haggadah are four psukim in the book of Dvarim, Parshas Ki Savo, which are what is called Vidi Bikurim. On Shavuos, or between Shavuos and Sukkos, the Jews would bring their first fruits to Yerushalayim. And while they were there, they would make a declaration, as they were bringing their first fruits, they would make a declaration of thanks, which is called Vidui Bikurim. So these are four verses in Dvarim in Kisava. What the Haggadah is basically the drasha, the exposition of these verses, is found in the Sifri, which is the halakha commentary to the Book of Dvarim. So immediately, let's just go. People didn't quite understand this. Shneimar Arami Oved Avi Vered Mitzrayim Vegashom Sayim Avli Shem Go the Gog Gadol Atzum Baralim. There and then so then you start. He went down to Egypt, on a Sophia Dibu, and he's explained that. Then he goes next phrase in that verse. The Yagashom, as you take this four psukim, you take each pasuk and you explain it phrase by phrase. And that's the bait, that's what the God is all about. Why do we? What is the basis for this? Because just as Vidui Bikurim is an expression of thanks for God's generosity in giving us the first fruits, giving us a harvest, in a greater sense, what is more an expression of God's generosity than the freedom and everything else that we have Pesach time. So we use this same formula of saying thank you to say thank you for our freedom. And that's what the Haggadah is. That's basically the main body of the Haggadah. But just to go through some things here. Again, my grandfather's what it is. It says, Vahishon Lagoy Godel Atsum Varav. typical guy. The guy goes, he's an American Jew, and he's in a sports store. And he, see who that guy is? That's the former rabbi. Oh, now I see the bustle. Goy Gadol, it's big, he's big. Goy doesn't have a yarmulke on his head. Awesome, it's heavy. The rabbi, he goes to the rabbi. Okay. The Yerid Mitzrayim. Yeah, look, my grandpa used to say that every day.
He was from?
My grandfather? He was brought up from. He knew what it was all about.
You can still make jokes with that.
The Yerid Mitzrayim, honest up here, Dibur. He was forced to go, we were forced to go down to Egypt. That, here's, in other words, I have to understand, there was a godly intent for the whole thing. It didn't happen by accident. What's the intent? The idea, you know how a lever works? If you want to lift something up, you put a lever under it, then you bend it over a fulcrum, and you can lift it up. But you've got to get under it first. If you go from the middle, you're not necessarily going to be able to pick it up from the, pick up the bottom. God wants to elevate the world. And therefore, he forces the Jewish people into situations that they wouldn't necessarily be there on themselves. So, you know, Yaakov, go down. God, I don't really want to do that. No, I mean, it's like, why? Well, why should you go there? And so, a whole process of Hashgacha Pratis happens to, as it were, compel the Jews to go down to Egypt and Egypt to stay there against their will, against their natural tendency, in order to work out this godly plan. The Yagoshom, that they sojourned there, they were there for 210 years. And they said, I was saying, one of my words, this is my thing, but he guessed that every Israeli went to the States. This was in, he's there for 20 odd years, but he says, listen. Okay. In the same app, they were there in small numbers. So, Beshivim Nefesh. Now, here's one of the classic words of Jesus. It says, when it speaks about Esav, it says, not Esav is called Nefeshos Beisav. You have six people, and it says, Nefeshos Beisav. Here we say B'shivim Nefesh, in the 70 souls, the soul Nefesh is singular. Why? Because the fundamental nature of the Jewish soul is one. And it's that oneness which, you know, it's, you know, as soon as the Jews went down to Egypt, they had that oneness, and that's the core, you know, and that's the core of the experience that ultimately emerged from Egypt. Keep going further on page 42 here. It says, Vayaru Asana Mitzrim. The Mitzrim were bad to us. But here's where you get a couple of nice interpretations. Vayaru can also be Lashon Reya, friend. The Egyptians fraternalized with us. They became our good friends. And then, at least the second shot of the array, and they made us bad. And that led to, and then they acted badly to us. Three stages in the nature we said. First Jews fraternalized with the Gentiles. Then the Jews become bad, they become Gentile-like in conduct. And then that makes it possible for the Egyptians to actually oppress the Jews. Yeah, in fact, the whole story, it's the classic story of how the Jews become slaves to begin with. They were free men. What happened? Pharaoh, who puts on a bricklayer's uniform, says, let's all go make bricks. All loyal Egyptians, come and join me and make bricks. Who followed them?
Jews.
No. Egyptians weren't very excited about this idea. But the Jews, we're loyal Egyptians. And they followed him. He worked hard. They worked hard. And they said, okay, you're pretty good at this stuff. Continue doing it every day. When we accept, subjugate ourselves to a secular mentality, then the secular mentality, the secular authority begins to rule over us. As long as we feel our uniqueness, we're fine. God takes care of us. As soon as we accept other forces over ourselves, God says, okay, you seem to like it that way, so praise us. Be happy with yourselves. So that's the idea of the Aruas, the mystery. The Egyptians became friendly with us, and they made us bad, and then they oppressed us. Three interpretations of the same world, the same word, which are actually conceptually connected. Take a step further. Yeah, we were pointing out the 10 plagues, by the way. We poor. The people who dip their finger in, we don't. We poor. And the reason is you take the cup in your hand. You want to be in control, even when at a point where it's a negative thing. The word kos is the gematria teva. Hateva and kos share the same thing. You take the kos, you take nature in hand. You're not controlled by nature. You're in control of it. Not just dipping your finger. Okay. Also, it says there to take to pour it into a broken vessel. Now, you can just take a cup like this, and you take a plastic cup and cup and break it. And not quite the earthenware vessel that the but how you do it before you prepare it. Some of us don't really, it's one of the things which, if you don't have it, don't worry about it. Many, many good kosher seders, people haven't had it, but you should prepare yourself for the cup, you've got before, and if you can, it's a good thing to do. 10 plagues. That has a whole beautiful season. What's the first plague? Water turning into blood. Water is, it's cold, inactive. Blood is vibrant. Apathy is probably the biggest problem people have. The first plague, which is the first step of the Jews' redemption, is to change water, this coldness, this ease, go with the flow attitude into vibrant blood. Hey, we're alive, we're doing something. Afterwards comes Svardeya. Svardeya means frogs. There's a beautiful word, it's a Zambia word. Svardeya is, if you break in half, it's Svardeya. Svar means morning. Deya is knowledge. After the first plague, Jews were a little bit stunned. But they, Second plague is, this is really, it's really true. It was Svardeya, the dawn of knowledge. The point where, we're really getting out of Egypt, this whole thing. There is a God in the world, really true. And that, there's also a point, Svardeya, it's a medrash. Medrash is very mysterious nefesh from the frogs. God sent the frogs and went to the ovens. Why go to the ovens? They would burn. They were just doing what God wants, simply, straight. Therefore, it says, Hanani Misha Vazaria, when they were, Nebuchadnezzar said, throw in the oven, we just learned a lesson from the fox. Right? Do it, we can do it. Take one step further. Yossi Galili says, this is a passage that always bothered me. Now, you're at the, there were 10 plagues, no, there were 50 plagues, no, there were 200 plagues, there was 250 plagues. What? Why? Who cares? Now, so, it's a puppet. The Puppet Rebbe has a word on this. He says, "This kol machlech shasamti mitzrayim lo yisim alecha." Every plague that plagued Egypt, I will not place upon you. So, the more we explain and go into details of the plagues of Egypt, the more we know this will not affect the Jewish people. Then afterwards we sum up with summing up all the miracles God did for us. And that's what Dayan is about. There's a couple of very nice things here in Dayan. If God didn't do this, this would have been enough for us. So some of them are strange. Like it says here, if he had split for us the sea, but wouldn't have brought us through it in dry land, Diana would have been enough. Of course it would have been enough. What? What do we care if I got a little bit of mud on my shoes? You know, what's the thing, the specialness of, see, this explains like this. The sea has to do with Amunah. Dry land is making it real to the point that I understand it. It's, I can see it. You don't see, in the sea, we don't see all the animals in the sea. They're hidden, submerged. Same thing in the idea of Amunah. A person isn't really in touch with all, he doesn't understand his faith so much. On the contrary, he doesn't. Dry land means, hey, it's real, I see it. So, what is attached to it being a little bit muddy? That I don't really see it entirely. It's still a little bit left in the clouds. No, the revelation has got to be solid, thorough, to the point where, it makes sense to me, even on a physical or ordinary mortal level. It's not just a faith point, it's no longer only a point of faith. It's not even, I kind of understand, but really need faith to support it, but no, I see, I understand, it's real to me. Then it goes further, it says, if God had brought us to Mount Sinai and not given us the Torah, so what would we have done there? Yeah. So there's two explanations. One is, first of all, what happened when the Jews camped at Mount Sinai? They camped Kishechaz Velei Vechot. They camped with beautiful, with a complete sense of unity. So that would be enough. If we give it to her, of course, much more. But having to bring us that sense of unity, that itself was amazing. Alternatively, just the very feeling of wanting to be there for the Torah, to receive the Torah, was itself something great. Torah itself is obviously more, but the desire of the Jews, Naseh and Nishma, is also an important level. And in that vein, the Siddur, you know, Bechor Brengen, not everybody would hear Bechor Brengen. Whatever, you know, he's only a human being. And to talk to 1,500 people, really, like, that 500 that we're able to hear was amazing. You ever try speaking without a microphone to a room bigger than this? I mean, so the Chassidim didn't hear. They'd say, look, even if God brought us to Mount Sinai and didn't give us the Torah, that's also lovely. I was back for Brengen. I didn't get the Torah. Being back for Brengen itself was something. Okay. Going further. Rabbi Gamliel says, there's three things which you have to say on Pesach. If you haven't spoken about these three things about on Pesach, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. Heard these three things? Pesach, Matzah, Morah. What is Pesach all about? Three things. One, Matzah. One, Pesach, to pass the sacrifice, you've got to make a jump forward. Pesach means to leap. You have to realize that, no, I can't just proceed at a normal, steady pace. That's going to be a jump forward. Matzah. The way to do that is humility, simple faith, matzah. Then that gives us the potential to take morer and transform the bitterness of our lives into something positive. That's what Samuel need to say three things. You need to appreciate these three phases. And then your Pesach is a Pesach. And it says that Pesach, that our ancestors ate in the time of Pesach Mikdash. Why was it? God jumped over the homes of our ancestors. And just as God may as well jump, we've got to make a jump. Matzah, this is like the classic Hasidic memoriam. It's a statement that is so hard to understand halachically. What does it say? What is the reason? Because the door of our ancestors did not have time to rise before the King of Kings, the Holy One Blessed Be He, revealed Himself to them and redeemed them. Now wait a second. First of all, they were commanded to eat the Paschal sacrifice with matzah. Second of all, what does it mean the dough didn't have time to rise? They carried that dough a couple of hours. How long did it take the dough to rise? 18 minutes. They'll carry on their backs. They have plenty of time to rise. So the Rebbeim, it's the author of this Maimon with the Torah. If somebody asks me, I'll send it. By the way, because we have it. It's an awesome Maimon. You might send me an email. I'll get it to you. He says like this. There's two levels of matzah. The matzah before chatzos and the matzah after chatzos. Now also, it's how you spell it even. The matzah before chatzos, it says, a matzah sumor, their matzah is written without a vav. The matzah is written without a vav, it can also mean strife, struggle, battle. That's one level of matzah. A person is fighting with his chametz. That's the matzah that they ate in Egypt. Then, having brought the Korban Pesach, there was a whole different level of matzah. Well, here's speaking with Betzach of said, yes, they were carrying it, plenty of time to rise, but it couldn't rise. Why couldn't it rise? Because it was such a great revelation of godliness that even though there was plenty of time, when there's a tremendous revelation of godliness, there's no room for chametz. The physical was a representative of the spiritual. Because of that great revelation, couldn't rise. There was no room for that sense of ego. So that's the first. So they had matzah before chatzos and after chatzos. But now wait a second. When are we eating this matzah? We're eating before. You have to eat matzah even after Komen before chatzos. So why are we saying this matzah that we eat is for the matzah that had that connected with that awesome revelation? So the other Rebbe says, because this matzah is a mitzvah. Every mitzvah, by the very fact that it's a mitzvah, has implicit, invested in it, that awesome revelation. That awesome revelation, which was revealed and knocked them off their feet then, now it's not revealed. The light show isn't there. But the power and the intensity of it is there. That same idea of God's infinite energy, His Elokus, as it's essential, is invested in those matzahs, and therefore there's no room for matzahs, for any sense of chametz. That's what the Arizal would say, that a person who's careful about chametz and matzah, he won't sin the whole year. Because the very nature of the mitzvahs prevents a person from the sensitivity which leads to sin. Going further, b'chol dor b'dor, in every generation, this is the key of the whole Pesach experience, is this statement, in every generation. As a matter of fact, this was Sona who can see me Shom. If anybody's learning Avi Pesachim, what does Rabbi say? Murach learned Avi Pesachim several times. Rabbi says that this is the key of the whole Gada. Well, Sona who can see me Shom, not Avi Seinu who can see me Shom. Oh, Sona who can see me Shom, God takes us out of Egypt. That's the point of the whole. The point of the whole Seder is not, as we said the other day, the Safir is trying to glow with the light of the redemption, that it be an experiential moment of today. I'm leaving Egypt. We get the whole door by door, and every generation, he himself is leaving Egypt. Let's go further. we start saying Hallel. Here, by the way, we pick up the cup on the Ficha. The Lubavitch custom is to put it down on the normal one of Hallelujah. Even though the Alter Rebbe says in the Hebrew it says you hold the cup until you finish the bracha. If you notice in the English we have it here the cup is put down, because that's exactly what we do. Which is pretty good, because people generally sing Hallelujah and say Sisrael, so you hold the cup for a very long time otherwise, and you'll have spilled all over the tablecloth, etc., etc. So you pick it up for the Ficha, then you say the two Hallelujah and the Tzeis Yisrael, the cup is down, and then the final bracha. Then you pick the cup up. You pick up the cup again, hold it for the continuation for the completion of the bracha. Bracha there is kind of it says also, and we ask God. It says Kainash Hashem El Kainah B'Kevah Seno Yegrinu Modim Rabim Achirim. We're asking God to bring us to new festivals of Mashiach. And the whole point of this is not just a here, from this point on, the Gada is now moving already, not just to a realization of the Exodus from Egypt, but a prayer for the coming of Mashiach. So that's the point of this blessing. And it concludes with Nodach Shir Chadosh. Every place else it says Shira Chadosha. Time of Mashiach is the time when we say Shir, masculine. In other words, every time before it is feminine, there's always a possibility for another Golos. Mashiach's time will be Shir Chadosh, a masculine song, a song from which there will be a redemption, for which there won't be another exile afterwards. Okay, I've got a couple minutes for halakhic points. Afterwards, you say Baruch Hu Gafen, drink the cup. Again, you should be leaning on the left side.
So,
as we said before, Patrick's approach.
If we do that, are we have to pay you copyright?
We'll deal with it after that. It's still enough. I get permission. It's still enough to call me. Okay. Rachsa, we wash. And here, obviously, we do say a bracha for the washing. Motzi matza. Okay, those who will be holding a Seder plate. For hamotzi, you have three matzahs here. The top matzah, the half, and the bottom matzah. So for hamotzi, you hold all three. For the bracha, alchilas matzah, you put down the third matzah. And then after the bracha, you eat the matzah. And we don't dip the matzah in salt. Hamotzi during the whole year, obviously you do dip in salt. Here, we don't dip in salt because we don't want anything to interfere with the taste of the matzah. Now, matzah has to be eaten. The word eating in halacha means two things: quantity and time. The quantity is kazayas. How much is a kazayas? 27, 28, 30 grams, about an ounce. Or to put it simply, it's about half of one of your shmura matzahs. That's a kazayas diaraisa. We're going to a moment kazayas diarabanan in a second. But there's kazayas diaraisa.
So you gotta eat like a full month and 4 years.
Wait a second. Then, so you have to eat a kazayas, a kazayas is half a month. Then, what's the time of matzah? Kedei Achilas Pras, which there's various different opinions. The opinion which we'll follow here is four. bet, you know, if you get stuck, there are more lenient opinions going to 8 or 9. There's a more machmir opinion at 2. We'll stay with more for now. Now, also, it's the Alter Rebbe writes in Shulchan Aruch that you should eat, because we don't know whether we should eat the top matzah or the bottom or the half. Because on one hand, there's a reason to take from the sholet. So you have to ask yantim. On the other hand, the whole point of matzah is lechem only, poor man's bread, the half. So what do Jews do?
You eat both.
So you've got to have. So you should be. So ideally, here you should be eating two halves, half from the top, and you're broke, and you're half.
This is by Motzi Matzah.
This is by Motzi
Matzah. So what about if you not have your own plate?
Then you just eat. Then just eat the half.
You don't have to. But so should you say the bracha?
Yeah, you say the bracha. You say the brachas anyway.
You don't have to hold.
Again, there are people. It's Lubavitch custom that everybody has their own Seder plate.
But you said Mary.
No, it's everybody. But not everybody, again, you don't have to be necessarily mocking on it. I'm not going to tell you, if you don't do it, you haven't. It's Lubavitch custom. Done. Do it. It's not always possible, depending on where you're going to be making the Seder. So, don't go crazy on it.
It's better to have that.
It's better to have, yes.
Okay.
But be normal. So, if you have it, and you'll be eating these two halves of matzah, it's a little bit of an effort. It's not. But it's very important. At least eat that. Forget about the two halves now. But the one half in Kedesh in this pras, that's the mitzvah. And you're doing all about this. That's the mitzvah. Now also, if you guys were making seders, going to Swiss, making seders, this has got to be done at night. You've got a big problem there, because depending on where you're going to be going, night could be 10:30. I don't know what sunset is there, but night could be 10:30, and it's a hassle. They give you instructions, but you serve the meal before make kiddush after. It ain't so easy, and they don't listen, but they want to do their own thing.
Especially the Russians.
They're the worst. Anyway. No, but it's hard. And it's really, one of the reasons you're doing this is that I should eat matzah and Pesach. So you should try to get there at this time. And they're not going to want to eat a whole kazayas, but again, you should try to get it done, to get that done also. But obviously they'll be crazy about it.
What's wrong with these people?
And also the two kazayasim are again eaten leaning this way. Very important to eat it lean. If you're doing it, forget about them for now. For ourselves, if we're doing this, we're going to do it right. You got to be lean, be leading to mass. Moreover, again, kazayas tov kadeil to this pras. This is a rabbinic kazayas, so you can be a more lenient shear. I think they call it 22 grams, 3 grams a little bit less, I forget what. But it's basically, depending on the size of your leaves, 3 or 4 leaves of romaine lettuce. And then you put as much horseradish that you want. But you know, you don't have to eat a kazayas of horseradish. You do have to eat a kazayas of mora, and the best thing is the romaine lettuce. It works. And that's what the Chachamim wanted. They didn't want you to eat kazayas. Now, again, halachically, the romaine lettuce is the desirable form because the leaves are sweet and the root is bitter. And that's exactly the way Egyptian exile worked. And yeah, it started good, and as it kept further and further, you went in the ground. So you eat your leaves of romaine lettuce. You eat kazayas, not 3 leaves. Now, we dipped it into the charoses. Lubavitch custom is not to get heavy on the charoses. You know, like, you just dip it in and you shake the charoses off. You don't want to have anything marring the taste of mora. Which is really a shame, because I love charoses. And no, it's good stuff. And, what can I say? But this is only Lubavitch custom. Other people are really, they dip it and they take a big chunk of the charoses. And so, if you want to be the oyster Lubavitch for 2 minutes, no one's going to watch you. But, our custom is, like I said, you dip it in and you shake it away. Okay, Korech. You take matzah and mora together. It's also like here a big advertisement for Temani matzah. Temani used to have soft matzah that you could actually koreh. Koreh means to wind. Like the matzahs you buy in the shuk, you chametz matzahs.
Lapis.
You can get the. And we have neighbors who used to, they don't anymore. We used to bake their masses like that.
Of this stuff.
And they got lazy.
Like communal ostracism.
Is there any problem with that masa?
Yeah. Excuse me?
Is there any problem with that type of masa?
I would. We don't do it. You do it because we don't do it. What?
Not
Ashira. No, it's not Ashira. It's just Pata Shira is matzah with something else besides his flour and water. That's no, it's
Yemenite,
yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah, my downstairs neighbor, Rabbi Tova Levi, he's a Yemenite, he used to bake his own matzah.
And his own water.
Yeah. That horrible stuff.
I don't know why he stopped.
He still gives us some wine. The matzah doesn't, they don't give us a base.
No, I'm saying
we'll
be okay to
hear
that from
National University. Look, this is what we do. Is it okay? Yeah, it's 100% okay. Tova Levi is a full man. It's 100% okay. We just don't do it because we don't do it. There's a lot of things to face up. My father-in-law says, rabbis in Gan Eden are sitting there laughing their heads off at all the chumras which Jews do on Pesach. Yeah, it's ridiculous, some of the things that we do. But we do them, because that's what we do. So, can you eat that matzah? Yes, it's 100% okay. You won't see it in my house, because, it wasn't in Lubavitch households. The Korach, again, so this is a rabbinic, since it's a rabbinic obligation, you don't have to have a full kazayas, you can have a rabbinic kazayas, which is, again, a 22 gram one, or a little bit less. Or basically, that's basically a third of a shmura. But then, we eat so much matzah that we usually eat the whole thing anyway. That is also the Korach is also eaten leading.
Dominantly with romaine again?
Yeah, but again, same kazayas and mora.
And have enough lettuce.
Yeah, you have to have a lot of lettuce. I mean, If you're serving lots of people, you have to have lots of lettuce and lettuce also. And, but, you know, they won't do it all anyway. But you know, ideally, you should have it. There's a big mystic thing about this also. Matzah is emunah, morah is tshuva, and you have to mix in order to motivate a person to tshuva. You gotta mix the matzah, envelop him with the matzah, with the meaning of faith. And then that'll take the morah. That's gonna bring the morah to bring out the tshuva of the morah. Okay, Afikomen, Sofim. Again, halachic point on it. They have two sacrifices, Chagiga and the Korban Pesach. And Afikomen is exactly the Korban Pesach. But you also want to remember the Chagiga. So there's some people who eat Tukazesim Afikomen as well. The obligation is to eat a kezayis, and this is also like there's a whole question halachically, which you should do. Should you eat if you have only one kezayis, do you eat the kezayis of a matzah or do you eat the kezayis of apikomen? So I'm not going to go into the shakal tayr, which is necessary. But the point is, the very fact that they ask the question shows you that there's something in the kezayis. You know, the apikomen that has the same level as the first kezayis. So you have to be careful on it. Again, so you have to eat a kezayis, leaning, tokadeh filas pras, and it's desirable to have a second kezayis for the chagiga. So you Yeah, in other words, you're basically eating of the three matzahs you have in your Seder plate, you're eating five of them. You eat two and a half of them.
You should have one left over.
You should have half a matzah left over.
Five matzahs.
No. So two and a half matzahs, that's a pretty heavy thing. You do two seders and kutzlars, you're all matzahed out. really, I've had people who won't touch, the Shabbos after it. You have to have a little matzah. They don't want to eat it afterwards. But matzah is an amazing thing. It's like the Rashi said, "Es matzah me es belukus." Eat matzah, you're eating godliness. And the idea of it is, you're eating it, you're making it part of your system. It's becoming who you are. You're becoming who it is. An amazing idea. And it also goes down to the Zavort. When we go into a sukkah throughout the holiday of sukkahs, make a bracha, shikr, shalom, mitzvah, the sukkah. Matzah, during the rest of Pesach, we don't say let's matzah. Why? Because it's a level which it's even too high to be called a mitzvah. Aderach says about Meir, this Meir of Rishus, the Meir is even higher. What you can command is commandable. It's so high you can't even command it. So that's Master throughout Pesach. Okay.
Last year, he's also with Bob Shula, and his first business experience was also run by Bob Shulkin, and they were all Seder, and it was only Hatzot, and so he said that they should eat on the common. So the Shulkin said there is no Hatzot for Shulkin. The question is like, is there some leniency with the time? For example, you run the whole Seder with a big group, and for some reason you don't manage it
for the
time.
Again, the
leniency
though. There's no halacha for shulchan. And really, you don't want to make people crazy. You want to make a good seder. And, that's your main thing. I know plenty of very firm people who who in their own state just couldn't get their act together and ate their after Komen after Chatzos. Very slim people.
Or who weren't doing public Sabbath.
What?
Who were doing private Sabbath.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's definitely desirable to eat after Komen before Chatzos. It's halacha that way. It should be done. No question about it. Like I said, I know many people that just couldn't get their act together and it didn't work that way. That also, but see the custom, even halakhically, the see the custom is the second night. There's the second night. There's no question about it at all. And that people ate it for coming 3 or 4. I know plenty of people ate it for coming 3 or 4 in the morning. Second night. Full above and say just this is the way we do a second night. You do a second Seder. Because the first night there is a. It's also just the first night that you're knocked out from all the work you did. The second night, you rest during the day, you have plenty of time to relax and make a kishmaka seder. But, again, when it comes to running a seder for everybody else, yes, you should try to finish before Chatzos. It ain't always going to work that way.
Rabbi said a very good verse tonight. He said, Shlokim.
You do what you can. You really have to. You have to work with people, and especially when you go into places. It's very hard there because they run their own. Everybody who's been with them, they run the Seder, not you. Yeah. You're almost a spectator there, unfortunately. So it's think about it. You don't know the language. You do know the language, but you don't know the language. What do you do? You try to speak. Most of them don't speak English
no,
people
no.
Or what?
No young people come to show, and the young people are the only people that might know English, and the old people don't know English.
We're thinking of hiring a guy to translate.
Yeah. It can't work if you're going to explain a boy how he eats after Komen. What's that?
No, you can't hire. Well, people
hire
young
Jews.
They do hire Jews. That's been done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you go for the guy. We'll send you with the guy that probably knows the Russian.
Or whatever. Or they actually have hired things, but don't. They run when the community comes, they run. They do their own thing there. And you gotta
sit there and listen to me pontificate
and have a lot of people.
I've never been there. Don't know how it is, but from personal experience, the guys told me it's a rough thing, and it's been very elevating. The guys have come back as well. We've been able to get across to people. And we gave them a Jewish experience, which if we hadn't come, they wouldn't have had. But halacha is very, very hard. And communicating they definitely aren't going to want to hear any drushes. A couple of words here, a couple of words there, but, short, to the point, and you live with it, deal with the people as they can.